Make sure you open your Bible and follow along. Okay, good. Then let's pray. Now, Lord, our prayer is that you would open your word to us. It's fun to go to church, Lord, to come to church. And it's fun to see everyone. We don't get to see each other a lot during the week. And so, Lord, it's kind of fun to just give a handshake or a hug and see how everyone's doing and find ways we can pray for them. And, Lord, just encouraging each other, thank you for the chance. Now we want to study your word. And so, Lord, it's your word. So open it to us. Would you grow us up? Allow us to see. And after we study your word, that we would share communion. So, Lord, our hearts would simply be in your hands, that you would work a work in us. Be here as you promised. We claim your promise, Lord. We invite you to be here, and we need you. We look to you, Lord, and we do listen in Jesus' name. Amen. Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8 begins like this. It came to pass afterward. After what? Well, we just finished 7, and remember in chapter 7, the lady who came to visit. Jesus was having dinner at a Pharisee's house, and a lady came in, turned out to be a sinner, and you remember that whole episode. And Jesus said that her faith had saved her. You remember all that was involved in that. And so after that, now, he went through every city and every village, preaching and showing glad tidings, that means good news, of the kingdom of God, and the 12 were with him. Remember the 12 that he chose? And certain women also walked with him, were part of the group. They had either been healed of sicknesses or had had evil demons cast out of them, evil spirits cast out of them. So in the opinion of the Israelites, these weren't really high-class girls. Know what I'm saying? But they walked with Jesus as well. Now, one of them, her name was Mary. Mary Magdalene. That's the place where she came from, Magdala. Out of whom went 7 demons. Now, I don't know what this girl was like. But I just know that she was demon-possessed and she had 7 demons. Now, the number 7 in the Bible, you all know, you recognize it. That's the word. Thank you. As meaning the number of completeness. So one thing I know, she was completely demon-possessed, okay? 7 demons were cast out of this young lady. And Joanna, she was the wife of Herod's steward, one that worked in Herod's house. I'm sure that made for a great time. She was a wife of one of Herod's stewards. And Susanna was there with them also. And not just them, but there were many others. And the Bible says, they ministered unto Jesus of their substance. That means they gave their money and their stuff to the ministry that Jesus had. Now, doesn't that just sound so weird that that God would come to earth and others would give him money? Doesn't it sound weird to you? Yes, it does. Do this when you mean no, and this when you mean, and I'll know what you mean. Does that sound weird to you? You know, God could have planted a money tree in his backyard because he's God, and then money could have grown. You say there's no such thing as a money tree. He didn't even have a backyard. He could have gone down fishing, pulled out a fish, pulled money out of its mouth every time he needed money. You saw him do that. He could do that. But he didn't. How did he choose to live this life with nothing? It just doesn't make sense. And, you know, and these women and other men, there are a group of them besides the 12. There are a group that went along with him, and they gave to his ministry. And they put the money in the blessing box. And who carried the bag, the money bag? Judas. Now, what do we know about Judas, everybody? He's a thief. I recognize that kind of guy. Judas. Now, if you were in charge of the ministry and you knew there was a guy stealing money, would you let him handle the money? Go ahead, shake your head one way or the other. No. Not normally. But you know, you go back in Scripture, and you can find this in the Old Testament. And God will say to you and to me, my ways are not your ways. Boy, isn't that the truth? That is so true. He says, my thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways, as high as the heavens are above the earth, my ways are higher than your ways. And so he lets a guy that's a thief carry the money. And Judas was stealing the money. And he gave him chance after chance after chance after chance to stop it. Even in the garden, when Judas came up to give him a kiss, you know, when they greet one another, they kiss on each cheek, they give him a hug and kiss him. Even then, he called Judas what? Friend. Here's one more chance, Judas, for you to change your mind. Have a heart change, repent. God never gives up on you. Not really. If you're still breathing, there's hope. You say, I'm a mess. Well, it might be true. But if there's still breath, there's hope. There's always a chance. And God will give you a chance to turn. So don't give up on anybody. You look at them and you think, man, that girl, she's just a loser. That guy, he's not. No, you know what? Don't. No way. God loves them. Pray for them. Here's the ministry that Jesus is a part of. Now, in verse 4, we read, when much people were gathered together, they came to him out of every city. Well, he spoke by a parable. He's going to tell them a little story now. Now, you may have heard this parable before, if you've been in your Bible in any time at all. A sower went out to sow a seed. Verse 5. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the birds of the air ate it, devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. You know, you can't put a lot of roots down in a rock. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it to death. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried. That doesn't mean he wept. It means he yelled out to the crowd. He said this, "He that has ears to hear, let him hear." So now everyone in the crowd, to include his disciples, had a choice to make. Did they want to hear this or not? He that has ears to hear, let him hear. You have a choice to make. Christian, non-Christian alike, you have a choice to make. Do I want to hear this or not? How many times have you tried to share with someone, and maybe you said, I'd like to, let me just tell you what the Bible says. And here's the response you got. I don't believe that garbage. That's maybe good for you. It's not for me. I don't even want to hear it. Don't shove that down my throat. You ever had anybody say that to you? I was talking to a guy one time, we were in the Navy, and I said, you know, God's word says that Jesus is his only begotten son, and God gave his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. And you know what the response was back to me? And I just said it to him. I said, I want you to know that's what God's word said. He looked at me and said, don't preach to me. Interesting. All I was doing was quoting the Bible. Of course, at that young, tender age, I didn't understand that the Bible is sharp. Hebrews tells us sharp as a two-edged sword. And you see, when you are using Scripture, that's sharp. It amazes me when you say to someone, you know, Jesus loves you. And they go, don't shove that down my throat. I just said it, man. Easy. Stay. Sit. What's wrong with you? Animal. He told them the parable and he said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear. Everybody in the crowd's got a choice to make. Do I want to hear this or not? You know, as a believer, so do you. You say, no, oh, I've already heard. No, there are many times as believers, we've got to decide whether we want to listen to God's word or not. You say, is there proof of that in Scripture? Yeah. As a matter of fact, if you read the book of Revelation, chapters 2 and 3, where Jesus writes the letters to the seven churches, at the end of each letter to each church, he says, he that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. You have a choice to make. Do you really want to listen to this? How often have we as Christians, someone came up and said, this is what God says, and we go, I don't care. This is how I feel, and this is what I'm going to do, and I just don't care. What are we saying? I have ears to hear, but I'm not going to listen. I will not hear it. That's not the way to be. So Jesus gives it to the crowd and lets everybody. Now, who else is in the crowd? There, the 12 are there. He that has an ear, let him hear. He that has ears to hear, let him hear. Well, the disciples came up to him, and we learn in other Gospels they came privately, and they said this to him. We got ears to hear. We want to hear. We want to understand this. So could you explain it to us? They said this. The disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? Could you explain to us what this means? Now, every time so far, you yourself have come to God and said, I don't understand what you're saying. Every time so far you have said that to God, He has taken the time to explain it to you. He has never said, you, Bob, you are so lame. Man, I'm tired of telling you this thing over and over. Come back when you grow up. He's never said that to me. I said, I don't understand what, I read this, Lord, and I don't understand what it means. And God says, well, here, let me give you another example. And God explains it. So the disciples say, we've got ears to hear. We want to hear. We want to understand. So can you help us understand this? And Jesus said in verse 10, he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the gospel of God. The kingdom of God. But to others in parables, that seeing they might not see and hearing they might not understand. He didn't just say, I don't want them to see, I don't want them to understand. He just simply said, everyone has a choice to make, everyone. But to you it is given. Why? Because you ask. You said, I want to know. Help me understand this. So he goes, good, I will. It's given to you then. I'll help you understand this. There are times, don't let this scare you, but there are times when I read through the Bible and I do not understand what he's telling me. I have no idea. I'll read it and then I'll go, I must have been tired. I'll stop and I'll read it again. And then I'll think, I don't know. I'll look up some of the words and then I'll think, all right, I'll read it again and I'll close it and go, Lord, I haven't got a clue. Can you give me a hint? Who are you talking to? Why are you saying it that way? I mean, what am I supposed to do with it? You ever felt that way? Never? Man, I do it quite often. I must really be dumb. Because there are times when I go, I haven't got it. What are you saying? I don't know. He says, to you it is given. You've asked, I'm going to help you understand. So he goes, here in verse 11, he says, the parable is this. Let me explain it to you. The seed is the word of God. Remember the parable? A sower went out to sow the seed. Now, they understood this little story because that makes sense. They are farmers themselves, or they're at least around the big fields, and they watch the farmers. And so they're sowing seed. Now, what is the seed, everybody? It's God's Word. If you let Jesus explain it to you, it's really easy to understand. The seed is the Word of God. One thing I know about the seed, then. One thing I know about it already. There's nothing wrong with the seed. Right? There is nothing wrong with that. That's God's Word. There's nothing wrong with God's Word. So there's usually then a problem on the soil it falls on. The seed is good wherever it goes. That's God's Word. Wherever God's Word goes out, there's no problem. God's Word is good. But what it hits, what it lands on, that seems to be the problem, doesn't it? So what is it landing on? Well, in the parable, he says it falls on dirt. Different kinds of soils. So let's see. The parable is this. The seed is the Word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then the devil comes. Notice the birds came and ate the seed. The devil comes and takes away the word from where? Hearts. So what do you think the dirt, the soils are? The seed is the word. It falls on what kind of soils? There are four different kinds of hearts that the seed is going to fall on. And that's the same in this room right now. Nothing's changed. There are four kinds of hearts that this word going forth now will fall on. One of them, he says, is the hearts that are by the wayside. What does that mean? Well, it says here, the seed is sown on the wayside, and then the devil comes and takes it away. The wayside, what kind of heart is that? That would be a heart that simply says, I don't care. I'll pay no attention to what you've got to say. And the devil comes and takes that seed away. So you could say to someone, I want to tell you, God's Word says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And there will be hearts that will say, I don't care. that's good for you. I don't even believe in that kind of garbage. I think there's spacemen. Our space brothers left us here. They're coming back to get us. That's where DNA came from. And they go into this whole soliloquy and they say, I won't even listen. I won't even accept any of what you're saying. Those are the hearts where the seed falls by the wayside. Not interested at all. Do you know people that way? If you've ever tried to share Jesus, you've probably met people that way. That's one kind of heart. The next one, verse 13. They on the rock, when the seed fell on the rock, are they which, when they hear, they receive the word with joy or gladly. And these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. What's being said here? There's another kind of heart. There's the first heart, you throw the seed out there, the word of God hits it, and it says, I don't care, man, I don't want to hear it. Just don't shove that down my throat. I'm not interested. Forget it. Don't believe in that kind of stuff. That's a heart. There's another kind of heart. When the seed falls on that heart, they listen, and they even enjoy it. And they even take it in mentally. They like what they hear. Yeah, that sounds good. But it never goes into a heart. It never goes into a place where there's ground. It never gets down where it can take root. It's on a rock. It's on a hard surface. It can't take root. It dies away. I'm going to tell you something. Out of the four hearts that we're going to see today, only one of them is truly saved. None of the others are saved. So they listen and they accept it mentally. They say, that's right on. I like it. There's an old saying, you've probably heard me say it, old saying that there are some people that are going to miss heaven by 18 inches. Because that's almost the distance between your head and your heart. You believe it up here, but it never gets here to where it actually takes root and begins to grow. You're going to find many that way. You drive out there on the freeway today, if you get a chance, and you'll see bumper stickers that say Jesus is Lord and Jesus isn't Jesus. Not everyone that has a bumper sticker on their car is saved. Not everyone that comes to church is saved. But they'll tell you they like it. Oh yeah, I like reading my Bible. I like hearing these things. But it doesn't go into a heart. It falls on rock. Is there anything wrong with the seed? No, it's great. The soil is the problem. The heart is the problem. That's the second kind of heart. There's a third kind of heart, though. It says, that which fell among the thorns are they which, when they have heard, they go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life and bring no fruit to perfection. There's no life there either. Because if there's life, God says there's fruit. If there's no fruit, there's no life. So you got a third heart, and that third heart, the cares of this, they listen to the word of God and they think, yeah, that's kind of cool. I like that. And that's, I should change my ways. I really should start walking. I really should listen. But there are too many important things out there. You know, like stuff. You live in a country where stuff really is important. You know, you go and visit Africa. We go out into the war out in southern Sudan. Southern Sudan, yeah. Whew. This is such an easy job I have. It's what you call a peach impediment. You go out there, and there's gunfire and there are bombings. I kind of like it. It's where I go when I leave here to go on vacation, to the war. But when you get there, you don't have anything. And you go to bed when the sun goes down. I don't know what time that is. It's just that's what time you go to bed. And then you get up when the sun starts to come up. And we had our watches, of course, but nobody used clocks. And so you'd notice that the kids, the little bitty kids, are up, have their chores done, and they're in school by 5:30 in the morning. Because, see, the sun's been up for a little while. And then they go to school and they do this, all these things. And their life isn't run by stuff. It's a different world. over here, you know, you hear this thing, oh, I can be as close to God on the golf course as I am in church. I can be as close to God up there skiing. Of course you can. But you'll notice that spiritual things don't seem to matter to those kinds of individuals. They just don't matter. They're trying to do what's right so they can get things. Some people think, you know, you forget that salvation is by grace through faith. And some people are just trying to be good so they'll go to heaven, hoping their good will outweigh their bad. It's never going to happen. But that's how they're living. They're not living for real. Their heart is wrong. There's a heart problem there. And no life can happen because it gets choked out by the things of this world. Take a look back at the beginning of this chapter and we see how Jesus lived. He didn't have a backyard. Was it a sin to have a backyard? No. Go for it. Have one. But do you understand, Jesus, his whole goal was to serve, to minister, to do the will of his Father. Things can choke you out if you let them. So you want to watch out. But there's a fourth kind of heart. That on the good ground are they which, in verse 15, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. Of the four hearts you saw, only one of them is truly born again. The others didn't have salvation and lose it. It was never there. There was never life. It never had an opportunity to take root and go. Some seed fell on good ground. Same kind of seed, but it fell on a different kind of heart. It fell on a heart that was prepared. Good ground is ground that is prepared. If you're going to plant, all those of you that are like part-time farmers or even do your own gardens, if you're going to plant, you get the ground ready. And you'll see that stuff grows. They confess their sinfulness. They acknowledge their guilt. They give their hearts and their lives over to the Lord through Jesus Christ, his Son. The heart is ready. Now, those are the four kind of hearts. Notice one out of four are truly born again. Contrary to what you may think. So, what Jesus is telling us in this parable is simply that everything comes down to a heart. It's a heart issue, everything that we're dealing with. Everything that you and I go through, all that's going on around us, comes down to a heart issue. What are we doing? What kind of heart do I have? If you look at the four kinds of hearts, you can answer the question if you're honest. You say, what kind of heart do I have? Do I have a heart that just doesn't want to hear it? You know, there are Christians born again. I know they're saved. But you'll talk to them and you'll say, this is what God's word says. And they will look at you and say, I don't care. I'm tired. My feelings are hurt. I'm confused. I don't care. What kind of heart is that? It's a heart that's been so hardened that the word of God can't get in. And that's a born again believer. See, it's a heart issue that you're going to deal with your whole life now. What kind of heart do you have? In Jeremiah chapter 4, the beginning of the chapter, God talks to the people of Israel and tells them something about their hearts. Jeremiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 4. Here's what God says to them. If you will return, we'll return, O Israel, saith the Lord, return unto me. If you will put away your abominations out of my sight, then shall you not remove. And you shall swear the Lord lives in truth, in judgment, and in righteousness. And the nations shall bless themselves in him, and in him shall they glory. For thus saith the Lord to the men of Judah and Jerusalem. This is what God says. Break up your fallow ground. Don't sow among the thorns. Circumcise your hearts, yourselves to the Lord, and take away the foreskin of your hearts, you men of Judah and inhabitants of Jerusalem, lest my fury come forth like fire and burn, that none can quench it because of the evil of your doings. Did you hear what God said? Break up your fallow ground. Do you notice God is telling the people that are his, your heart is your responsibility. What kind of heart do you have? You have to first answer the question. Next, you have to say, all right, what do I do about that kind of heart? God says your heart is your responsibility. Now, I can't do anything without him. But I can recognize that my heart isn't the right kind of heart. And I can say, Lord, here's my heart. Because it's my responsibility. God tells these people, you break up your fallow ground. There are times when God says to me and you, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord. I used to pray a prayer. Maybe you guys are guilty of doing the same thing. I heard somebody pray it and it sounded like it was scriptural, and I started praying it too. So I prayed this, humble me, Lord. You ever pray that one? Because I heard somebody else pray it, it sounded right. Humble me, Lord. And then God said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord, and in due time he shall lift you up. And so I said, prayed, humble me, Lord. And he said, humble yourself in the sight of the Lord. And I said, well, humble me, Lord. And he goes, humble yourself, stupid. He doesn't talk to you that way. But sometimes it takes a load of bricks in me. Humble yourself. I've got to take some responsibility, but I don't have the strength. Call on me. I got to take some responsibility, but I just don't have it. Then look to me. You break up your fallow ground. How? Come to me. You know how you break up your fallow ground? Prayer. Praise and worship. When we begin a service, and usually when we end a service, we do our little praise and a little bit of worship. 1 minute, 1 hour, doesn't matter the time. The idea is, it's not preliminaries to give you time to get in. It's to prepare our hearts, to break up our hearts, get them ready to receive the seed that is going to go forth. Ready that it can go on to good ground, take root, and produce fruit. So he says, you break up your fallow ground. Look what he says in Hosea chapter 10, verse 12. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy. Break up your fallow ground. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. You see, it's a responsibility he's given to me and you. What kind of hearts do we have? We can look through this parable. Jesus says, you know, some of the seed fell in this kind of heart. Some fell in that kind of heart. There are four kinds of hearts. And so he explains it to his disciples. Here's what it means. And the disciples say, well, I know what kind of heart I want to have. Well, then you prepare your heart. Get your heart ready. Break up your fallow ground till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Now, Jeremiah chapter 17, verses 9 and 10 tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And then the answer, I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. So I say, Lord, I want the right kind of heart. And God says, I'm the one that searches the heart. So I say, search my heart then. I want to have the right kind of heart so when the word goes forth, whether I hear it by tape or by video or by live or by television, however I get radio, however, I want to be ready that my heart is prepared to hear and receive, that it take root and produce fruit for his glory. It's my responsibility. It's your responsibility. Your heart is your responsibility. But you can't know your own, Jeremiah says. God is the discerner of the heart, so we come before God. Do you remember David? David was about 13 to 14 years old. That's, to me, young. Some of you, that's probably old. But 13 to 14, he was anointed king at 13 or 14 years old. What did God say about him at that age? God said, David is a man after my own heart. Remember that? It was years later. David is much older, near 50, when he sinned. And as he's confessing the sin in Psalm 51, remember what he said to the Lord in verse 10? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. David took responsibility, said, I've sinned, I confess it, and I want my heart to be workable and usable. So make sure that I have the right kind of heart. Create in me a clean heart and renew a right spirit within me. He goes on to say in Psalm 51, verse 17, he goes on to say this, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. So now you got a choice to make about your own heart. You know what kind of heart is going to be usable? The word is going to get into that heart and it's going to make a change. You say, I want a change in my life. I really want to see a change. I want to grow. And break up your fallow ground. Turn your heart over to the Lord and say, Lord, create in me a clean heart. If there's something that doesn't belong, take it out. Fix it. I give my life to you, my heart. See, everything's a heart issue. Paul tells Timothy, 2 Timothy 2:22. Paul's going to die soon, and he says to Timothy, one of the last things Paul wrote, he says, "Flee also youthful lusts, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, and peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart." Timothy, make sure that this is what you follow after with all those who call upon the Lord out of a pure heart. My heart is my responsibility. Although I can't do anything with it, it's my responsibility to bring it to the Lord. Even as a believer, you say, "Well, I'm saved. Salvation is by grace through faith. I'm doing great." Yeah, but how's your heart? What kind of heart have you got? Peter, right before he is killed, before he is crucified, says to every one of us, "Be sure that you're sure that you're sure that you're sure." 2 Peter 1:10. He says, "Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall." So Jesus gives us a simple parable that many of us have heard, maybe literally hundreds of times. But once again, the reminder and the chance to say, this has to deal with my heart. Yeah, I'm born again. I've accepted Jesus. It was by grace through faith. So I am saved and I will go to heaven because of his death and resurrection. Yet still, on an everyday level, my heart has to be dealt with and has to be in a position where when the seed goes forth, it can land there and take root and it can grow. What kind of heart do you have? What we're going to do now is share communion together. And as we share communion together, we're told we need to search our hearts. What kind of heart is it? Jesus says to his disciples, "I'll explain to you this parable. It's your heart. The heart is the issue." And so we're told by the Lord, guard your heart. Where's your heart at? What kind of heart do you and I have? As we take the bread represents the broken body of Jesus Christ. His body was broken for us. As we take the cup represents his blood that was shed for the sins of the world. Our sins. He died in my place. I should have been there on the cross to suffer and to die and to be separated from God forever. Yet Jesus took my place. He took your place. You were sentenced to death and he stepped in and he took your place. By grace, through faith, all you had to do was say yes to Jesus Christ. Now we walk with him. And the question we want to go before the Lord with is, here's my heart. Search my heart, Lord. Create in me a clean heart. A heart that is prepared to listen to your word. That when the seed goes forth, it lands on good, prepared ground. Well, they're going to pass the communion out. When you get the bread, when you get the cup, in your own heart, when you're ready yourself, you go before the Lord, then you take that bread. When you're ready yourself, you go before the Lord, you take that cup. When you in your own heart have let God deal with your heart, as we just praise together. Let's bow our heads.